Well, good morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, how we thank you that we can gather in your name. How we thank you for the salvation that you've made available to each of us. Lord, guide us as we look at this great prayer and your word this morning from the book of Jonah, Lord. And may we glean and may we have grateful and hearts praising you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll turn to Jonah chapter 2 this morning. We have this, every time it seems like I say it's an awesome, great prayer, but this one is another one. And the book of Jonah, very interesting. I was just thinking this morning as I was looking at the references to Jonah that Jesus made in Matthew 12. And in Matthew 12, that whole chapter is regarding Jesus's coming against, so to speak, the traditions and the Jewish exclusiveness of the Israelites. And the Lord was first challenged by the Pharisees when his disciples threshed heads of grain just to eat the food. And he mentioned David, of course, and eating the showbread. And then they were really upset when he healed the man who had the withered hand on the Sabbath, and it says they plotted then to kill him. We see that he answers their question. They want to know his authority, and they want to know a sign. And he said, "You wicked and adulterous generation." And I believe that adulterous generation there, it was not relating to unfaithfulness of in a traditional marriage, a husband cheating on a wife or a wife cheating on a husband. But it was really that Israel was adulterous in spiritually, and they were going after other gods. And so he said, "You who are going after other gods, why do you seek a sign?" And he basically then said, "I give you no other sign but other than the sign of Jonah." And of course, that's such a beautiful sign that when we think of Jonah, we think of his, in a sense, burial, death, and resurrection, 3 days. We think of Jesus on the cross, 3 days, well, not 3 days on the cross, but Jesus dying on the cross and then buried 3 days and then the resurrection. And also, the context there is really the reaching out to the Gentiles, because he, in the very next verse in chapter 12, verse 41, he mentioned Nineveh will arise in the day of judgment with this generation, and they will condemn it because they repented before the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater Jonah is here. So we see here that he's mentioning coming against the Jewishness of their exclusivity. They thought they were the only people that could be saved. And he brings out the fact that God in his mercy had saved the Ninevites in the days of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. And then he went on and he talked about the Queen of Sheba. So he's emphasizing that salvation is for everyone, not just for the Jews. But now we go back to Jonah around 780 years before Christ. And we don't want to just look at him as one rebellious individual where everybody else was obeying God. But he was upset with God because the Assyrians had been so wicked and had persecuted the Israelites so severely, and had actually conquered the northern kingdom. They will conquer the northern kingdom in just a few years after Jonah's prophecy here. So we see him then disobeying God and going the wrong way, of course, you know the story. But what we want to look at today is in chapter 2, where he praises first the God for his deliverance. And so immediately in chapter 1, it says, "Then Jonah prayed," and in most translations in the Septuagint, that word "then" is translated "kai," which would mean and Jonah prayed to the Lord. And so we see Jonah praying to the Lord, and whether some people think he didn't pray for 3 days, but this seems to have room in the context, at any rate from my perspective, that he probably had been praying from the time he went into the fish's belly. And it says, because he said, "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me." And so we don't know what the time frame is here, but he says, "Out of the belly of hell," or "out of the belly of Sheol, I cried and you heard my voice." So he's all going into a thanksgiving mode right off the bat here, or if he's been praying, he's getting to a thanksgiving mode here. And then he starts quoting Psalms, basically Psalm 18:6, "I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God, and he heard my voice." And then in Psalm 31, we read, you've heard the voice of my supplication when I cried out to you. And then in verse 3, we start to see the contrition here as he said, you cast me into the deep. And again, quoting a psalm in a sense, says, I have been cast out of your sight. And again, looking toward your holy temple, the waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountain, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up from the pit. You brought my life up from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. And so, again, here he's quoting Psalm 42:7, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls, and all your waves and billows have gone all over me. So it's just amazing to me. Here's a man in the middle of a fish's belly, no candles, no scrolls. He knows the word of God, has it in his heart, and he brings it up in this prayer, which is such a beautiful thing. And then in verses 8 and 9, he gets to his total commitment in his dedication. And in verse 8, he states, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I vowed. And then he makes this great statement, salvation is of the Lord. Such a beautiful thing. Salvation is of the Lord. A triumphant declaration. God has saved and will save. And Jonah means it personally. Jonah's salvation is to the Lord. And he knows that all people's salvation is of the Lord. It's not of a nation or of a race or a language nor a man at all. No, salvation is of the Lord. And so a beautiful prayer here that we see Jonah being used as such a type of Christ. And we see Jonah's testimony that salvation is of the Lord. I also was thinking in this prayer of the various kinds of faith that we have. You know, when things are going well, that's kind of a mild faith, I would think. We say, oh, I trust God, and I do whatever he says. I'll be obedient to him. I have a great close relationship with him. That's one kind of faith. But then when crisis comes, let's say you got swallowed by a great fish, where would your faith then be? Well, it looks like we have another kind of a faith here that we see in Jonah during those 3 days, and that was a persevering faith. That was the faith that sustained you. We see that all the time, I would think, with persecuted Christians. They may be in solitary confinement and they have no real assurance of ever getting out, and yet they have that contentment because of that persevering faith and that closeness that the Lord allows. And then eventually we get, I think, to that rejoicing faith, that rejoicing in the Lord because of what he has done, and knowing that this life is just part of a big picture, a much bigger picture, and that salvation is of the Lord. We're here only for a short time, no matter what. And then we have the victory with our Savior to be in his presence forever. So we look at this with boundless joy, and we're comforted and gladdened, even in the pain and sorrow. And that's the faith, I believe, that was realized here in the repenting of Jonah. So may we learn through trials and difficulties that often disturb our lives. And, you know, if it was always sunshine, we would never have that faith really developing and growing, would it? Would we? So we see Jonah is experiencing us, that his experiences can help us and encourage us to trust in the Lord as the Lord of our salvation. Salvation is indeed of the Lord and not of man at all. So may we dwell on that with thanksgiving and rejoicing. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this prayer in the Bible. We thank you for all of them, really. And here we have such a testimony. Salvation is of the Lord. And so bless and guide, Lord, as we go into prayer now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.